Buzzkill.
I quit.
Talking about spider ball sacks.
Yeah.
And with that, welcome to Come On, it's episode, what is this, 42?
42.
Wow.
Big 42.
Yes, that's the big one. That's the one everyone looks for. Like when you turn 42 years old, that's the big birthday party, right? Yeah, what was that like, Roger?
I don't remember it.
You don't remember your 42nd birthday?
Oh, we got the Huckster back with us on the show.
Down from She-Town.
She-Town.
She-Town?
It's like, is that like Amazonia?
Is that the girl's side of Chicago?
No, it's my
side. Is that what you people call it?
I know there's a boys town in Chicago.
I know we're all downstaters to you now. You know, we're all just a bunch of hayseeds.
Backcountry.
Which, I mean, if you've seen parts of our town, that is not an incorrect
statement. Not a stretch.
Yeah.
Not a stretch at all.
Like this neighborhood.
So this is a podcast where we like to talk about comic books and drink alcohol.
Actually, wait. There's something we got to do first. Before you pull out comics and start talking about it.
Okay.
The Apocalypse did have a birthday not too
long
ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
So,
yeah.
Since I work at the comic book store where you buy comics, happy birthday, dude.
No way.
You've got comics.
Yay.
Straight out of your file.
Thanks.
You got your Hexed in there. You've got your Uncanny Avengers.
Uncanny, Hexed.
A bunch of your Spider books.
Spider-Man 2099.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Holy cow. Wow. I'm going to be all caught up.
So there you go. And then,
thanks a lot.
And then one other thing. You alerted me to the fact that you were missing an issue of Turtles.
Oh, yeah. Did you find it?
No.
No.
I don't know what happened with that. So, cashed in a favor here. And
what?
I had someone mail me a copy. So there's your missing copy.
No way. Turtles. Where did it come from? Where'd you have to, like, is it like fall in the truck?
Michigan.
Wow.
Madison Heights, Michigan.
Kind of strange you have to pull. You know, I mean, you have to go too deep in the favor box, did you?
Oh, I had to.
Like, do you have to?
Yeah,
like,
I have to go assassinate a couple people now, and
do you have to like meet him at a rest area and disclose time?
Well, that's what you have to do.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
well, this is fantastic. You know, actually, I still had this like huge stack of Turtles to read, and it was all stopped because I didn't have 33.
I know, that was like from May or April or something.
Right.
So,
all right, well, I'm going to play some catch up there. I know you're not a big fan of the art in this Turtles.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate it. It's not the worst thing. It's
right.
Not like Sam Keith artwork, but, you know, it's whatever.
They'll be picking up the Michael Allen Nelson Hexed. Is Day Tripper still going on? Or no, not Day.
Damon?
Damon.
Number 4 came out.
It's kind of slow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. Yeah.
Okay.
It is. All right.
Yeah.
So there you go. Happy birthday.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. You're very kind, Dirt.
Yeah. My discount's better than yours.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, I don't want to mix this up with the other piles I want to talk about. All right, so last time I think I took it away. So why don't you head off the pass here and...
I was going to let you go.
Lead us down the primrose path.
I was going to let you go with whatever you were going to talk about.
Okay.
Do you have books to talk about?
We've got some stuff that we've both read together, so, I mean, you know, we could...
Well, yeah, but you
usually throw this out.
You usually have to go over your random stuff that you've been reading.
We could throw this out. Actually, I was going to let you talk.
Invincible's a segment for later.
Then I was just going to interrupt you.
Future's End is a segment for later.
We're going to talk.
Wait, did you catch up on Future's End? You still haven't read them, have you?
Not all of them.
Yeah, I see. That's how it goes.
So, you know... We got these to talk about.
Well, let's start with Walking Dead.
Okay. Specifically, we're going to go with...
What's the latest one you have?
130 and 131. I think it's the most recent.
31... Wait, let me see.
I don't think there's a 132 out yet. If it is, it just came out.
No, I think 131 is the latest, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so... Walking Dead in the comics.
So
the big revelation from last issue was what?
Negan is captured and
thrown
in jail.
No, not that one. The big revelation.
Oh, the big revelation that the walkers are now talking.
That's right. The Walking Dead are regaining part of their humanity.
Part of their consciousness.
Or
this guy's just nuts.
Or this guy's crazy. Because this is
the
only guy who heard
it. I think the guy's just crazy.
But it's possible That the dead are starting to regain.
Let's
their
backtrack
humanity.
A little bit, though. This dude was like stranded in a ditch with this other dude
who was
that
dying.
Was really wounded, and there's like this massive horde. Like they're in this like big massive ditch, and on the edge of the ditch is this massive horde of walkers that are like walking by. They don't see them, and they're hiding. And that's the last where you lead off with him. Then later on, he comes to Hilltop, right? The Hilltop.
Well, no, you see him. You see like the word balloons of the zombies
right.
talking. Like, which way did they go? I don't know. I don't see them. Let's keep going.
Oh, no. Okay, I got confused because I thought that was like...
You thought that was the dudes talking to
yeah.
each other? No, that's the zombies talking.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what he heard.
Yeah.
But whether or not he actually heard it...
So what do you think about that kind of twist?
It's the most exciting thing that book has done in like 8 issues.
Yeah. No, I'd say even longer than 8 issues.
There
has not been a lot of excitement.
All Out War started, there was some fun stuff going on, like the way they used the noise to bring the horde of zombies against Negan and his people, and, you know, there was some interesting stuff here and there, but then the whole thing just kind of ran out of steam,
and then
there was no good wrap-up.
Yeah, it was so anticlimactic.
Have you been reading Walking Dead?
I stopped, right before the war.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm kind of almost current.
Well, let me just...
So you quit when it was still good.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, the end of the war, basically, Rick...
You're supposed to make me read comics.
Rick
yeah, well, no, we want you to read good comics.
The good
comics.
That
yes,
is true. That's true.
Like Prison Pit.
To be fair.
So.
Prison Pit. That is a great comic.
So, so here's basically... Here's a thumbnail, a quick sketch, an example of what the last... I don't know, like 6 issues of Walking Dead has been since All Out War wrapped up. Boy, farming sure is hard. Hey, I want to be a blacksmith. We already have a blacksmith. Dang it, now what do I do? Boy, farming sure is hard. And that's basically been what Walking Dead has been for like 6 issues.
So more survival.
Oh,
but...
I'm Negan. I'm a nice guy. Come talk to me next to my jail cell.
We don't believe you.
Oh, shucks. They don't believe me.
I mean, that's really, it's been... talking and talking and talking, and then they talk,
yeah.
And then there's some talking, and then someone talks, and then someone talks, and then that issue's done. And then it goes to the next issue, and they're talking and they're talking.
Words.
And there's this one little sliver where these guys see this whole horde of walkers, and they hide in the ditch, and they hear the talking. All right,
now
and then they go back to town, and
I don't remember.
Look,
them
the zombies were talking. They're talking. And then
I think you're
back
just,
to talking.
I think you're full of it. I don't
I
remember them
not.
Mumbling and talking.
I know I'm behind on.
See,
episode,
look right there.
Or on issues. I hope
see,
that
he's
that's
just
not
listening.
The case.
Oh,
he's just listening.
See, I just thought that was them talking.
No, see, look, their expression.
That's why
change.
I was confused when he said, "Keep moving." When earlier I knew that they were trying to stay still where they were at.
Right.
Oh wow. That's really creepy.
Yeah, okay,
I just
want to
make sure that they
see, that
look like
the,
zombies.
That's
oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
only exciting thing that happened in the entire...
So maybe the zombies that somehow can eat and,
unless,
and
well, or
survive...
There could be the option where, like what you saw on the TV show, there could have been 2 humans with like the guts wrapped around them in the rain poncho. They could be walking in the horde.
Like they're completely
the
insane.
Like
they did that in World War Z.
Where'd they go? No, keep moving. Okay. So that could be survivors
right.
hiding within the horde. You never know, but that's the only exciting thing that's happened. Everything else has just been talking. Carl wants to be a blacksmith, so they go to the Hilltop so he can be a blacksmith, but there's already a blacksmith in training.
And
so now he can't be the blacksmith in training, so now he's sad that he can't be a blacksmith
right.
in training. I mean, it's just...
And Rick is, like, revered, like he's some kind of holy man to these people. Like, they just... They all want to talk
because he won the war
yeah,
and he kept everybody safe and he's built this new civilization where they farm.
So there you go. That's The Walking Dead. The Walking Dud. Oh, you know what? So let's segue right into another Kirkman, Invincible.
You don't want to do that as a segment? You just want to do that here?
Oh, do you want to spend a whole segment on Invincible?
I don't see how you can't.
Okay, well then we'll put that on the back burner.
Are you up to date on Invincible?
I am not, but I'll have to...
Why are you even here?
I'm hanging out with you guys, man. Came from Chicago.
You didn't bring any liquor. You didn't bring any snacks. You didn't read any comics.
I came to be insulted and downgraded by you, Dirt.
Okay, well then, mission accomplished.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We'll let it stand.
Kick-Ass 3?
I have not read it.
The grand finale?
I haven't read it at all.
Okay.
So, does anybody die? Does Hit Girl die, or does
Hit... No. Oh, okay. They both live.
Oh. Meh. Yawn.
Yawn?
Red Menace, is he dead?
Red Menace is not dead.
The MF-er, or whatever?
The MF-er, no. The mother...
He doesn't die at the end of the series?
No.
Does he have a change of heart, turn back into the guy?
No.
Does he end up in jail? I mean, is anything?
No. Basically, so, the big bad boss is having this big, huge meeting, like, on this dock. And it's and his intention is to lure in...
This is the final issue.
Lure, yeah.
This is the final, big grand finale. Okay.
To lure in Hit Girl, and he's going to kill her in front of the other bosses and convince the other bosses that he is the boss.
The guy who's
in charge of everybody.
Okay.
But it backfires. Hit Girl shows up, drops a bomb, puts this, like, toxic gas, like, in the... warehouse, and the head boss starts tripping, like has a psychedelic experience, like Scarecrow. Okay, right. It's kind of like a Scarecrow tactic.
Fear gas.
Yeah. She
and
puts
so she kills him.
Yeah, she puts a pickaxe in his head.
Okay.
Basically, she kills all the bosses, and this is supposed to be Kick-Ass's one last job. You know, this is it.
And now he's gonna retire.
So he retires,
but she's gonna keep going.
She keeps going. She basically disappears, but then, like, all of these, like, things start happening around the world. Like, a Colombian drug cartel just, like, disappears, you know. Mm. A Nazi who was thought to have never been found is found, you know, and murdered. You know what I'm saying? Like, so she just, like, goes off and becomes an international superhero. Mm. Whereas Kick-Ass, you know, formally
so she
retires.
Turns into Jason Bourne.
Right.
And heads out.
And she was always kind of a Jason Bourne-ish. You know, always preparing and handling, like, I don't know. I thought it was kind of a good end, but no, neither of them die. All the bosses die.
Yeah.
That's, you know, pretty much it.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Yeah.
How about Death of Wolverine?
How about it? How about a book where nothing's really happening? He's just kind of... Still
they're
going.
After, they're after him, though, because he doesn't have his...
Yeah, they know his healing factor's gone.
Yeah, he's no longer invincible.
But it's... I don't know. These it just... I don't know.
It's not going to be relevant, though, right? I mean, he's not really going to be dead. He may be dead, but he's not going to be dead. They'll find some, like...
I still think this is the Age of Ultron, ultimate history, or alternate history version of Wolverine that's dying. And the real Wolverine is still, like, in the cave in 1963 in the alternate timeline or whatever.
Okay.
You remember when it was he and Sue Storm went back in time?
Right.
And then Wolverine of that time period and the current Wolverine go in this cave and then the one Wolverine emerges and they come back to the future. I think that other Wolverine is still in the cave.
Okay.
And he's going to come out and come back to the present.
He's going to be like, oh, I don't know anything.
I was hiding in there the whole time just to keep everybody safe.
Right.
You know. Because flux capacitor.
1.21 gigawatts.
Because Jules' soul was in the briefcase.
Well, there's cool covers.
They are. They're metallic and shiny.
Yeah, I like metallic
that,
covers.
That way they can charge you $4.95 or $4.99.
Right. And it's got a digital bonus edition. You know?
Sure.
I do like the part where, like...
The artwork's very pretty.
Yeah.
The artwork's exceptionally pretty in there.
I like where he, like, lures all those people to the island. And there's, like, all these bodies strewn on the island beach. And it's, like, different... You know, you've got, like, AIM bodies and Hydra bodies.
I mean, like, what's it leading to? Like, what's it building up to?
The death of Wolverine!
Yeah! At whose hand?
Oh, when he fights this dude. What's his name again?
Tooth? Oh, no. You mean Nuke?
Nuke, yeah. That was kind of fun. And I like the little excerpts in the back. And the story.
How they give you those director's commentary and the history
co-creator
interview.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of cool. I mean, I think if you're a Wolverine fan, this is fun.
Sure. But he's no Deadpool.
No. He is no Deadpool.
So, I don't know. It's just... I was kind of hoping that with it being Death of Wolverine, there was going to be like some big... Like, we need you to go into this, but it's a suicide mission, but he's going to do it anyway because he's Wolverine.
He's sacrificing himself.
Right, and so it's like...
He's not really sacrificing himself, he's just...
I thought, like, maybe the end of the first issue, like, a Singapore would blow up, you know? It's like some villain makes his move and destroys an entire country. So then he's got to be part of this team to go in. But the guy has, I don't know, something, and only Wolverine can do it. You know, like I said, there'd be something to it. Like, this whole story would be, like, this one last mission he's going to go on where he's going to sacrifice himself. And instead, it's just kind of like,
instead he's
hanging out.
He's in Manipur.
And he's just
with,
doing his thing.
With Iron Man's mask.
And Kitty Pryde.
So.
I just expected, like I said, I just thought it'd be like this one story.
You expected more. It just didn't really...
Resonate with me on a personal level. So I think that's part of the problem.
Okay.
What about... let's see. Well, you haven't read any of the Futures End crossovers.
No. No.
Did you read Multiversity number one?
No.
Okay, don't. just leave it at that. Multiversity is one of those books where you kind of have to have Wikipedia open while you're reading it, and like
big words.
Like no, it's like this one character appears like in a frame.
Oh,
and it's like you have to know. But there's something about the fact that he's there that makes it important, so you got to look it up, and it's just like, oh my gosh, it's too much work. It's just not worth it.
Kind of like comic book resource.
Yeah,
available.
He goes too in depth.
That's when Windows 8 is handy because you can have the two screens up. You know.
Or regular Windows. I mean, whatever. Let me see here if I can get a list. Oh, I won't do it. I don't know, I'm trying to think of what, like some of the other things that I've. You know, actually, New Avengers. I've found myself.
I stopped reading New Avengers a long time ago.
And I just kind of
randomly. Who are the New Avengers right now?
Namor, Black Panther, Mr. Fantastic.
Those are old Avengers.
You know, it's basically built on the Illuminati.
Okay.
It's kind of where...
So why don't they just call it the Illuminati?
Because if they call it the Illuminati, the only people who would buy it are weird conspiracy theorist idiots. So they call it New Avengers sell it as an Avengers book.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're fond of this new Avengers?
Actually, okay, let me lay it out for you.
Number one?
How far did you read the series before you gave up on it? Like, do you remember roughly what was going on?
No.
Okay.
Luke Cage had, like, been given the mansion.
No, that's Mighty Avengers.
That's Mighty.
Unless you were the old... Okay, this is the series where...
No, yeah, this is new.
Because of, like, Age of Ultron and everything, the walls between the parallel universes were collapsing.
Right.
And so they find this spot where if they use whatever power, go into this magical spot, they can see another Earth from another universe.
Right.
And it's starting to converge with our Earth. And if the two Earths converge, then they both blow up and everybody on both Earths die.
Because two universes can't exist
exist in the same spot. Right.
Right.
So, what they're trying to figure out some way that they can stop this, you know, and so that everybody on both Earths won't die. But they can't figure out any way to make it happen. So Beast and Mr. Fantastic and I forget who else.
You say Doctor Strange?
He's part of the team, but he's...
Right.
Anyway, these guys, they develop a bomb. And this bomb will destroy an Earth. So if worse comes to worse, they can throw this bomb at the other Earth and set it off, and it'll destroy that planet so it doesn't phase into ours, so that the regular Marvel Universe Earth is okay, but then they kill the 20 billion people on
Earth.
Well,
that doesn't sound very just.
So, yeah, well, it's like their last fall contingency plan.
That is not the needs of the many outweighs the needs of the few.
Well, but it does, because you destroy one Earth.
No, the needs of the many versus the needs of the many.
No. Okay, so you're talking about you save one Earth or you save no Earth. Two Earths die, or you kill one Earth to keep the other Earth alive.
But it's the same populations, essentially, right?
But it's a different... It's an alternate reality.
Okay.
So you're killing the other world version
of
yourself.
My point is, there's definitely a moral gray area there.
Well, and that's...
with a bomb.
And so that's what happens.
Right.
Because it gets to the point where this other Earth comes, and they can't figure out any way to stop it, so they throw the bomb.
Okay.
And they have the control panel
there
to set it off. And Black Panther says, I should do it because we found this incursion.
Black Panther?
Because we found the incursion in Wakanda. So this is my responsibility. Okay. Save my people. I'm going to save the Earth. And he looks at it and he goes, I can't do it.
Uh-oh.
So so Mr. Fantastic's like, well, I came up with the bomb. I should do it. He looks at it and he goes, I can't do it. I can't be responsible for the death of that.
So then who does it?
So then Namor grabs it and says, you guys
are a bunch of
pusses. Boom. Blows up the other Earth.
Wow.
So they all get pissed off. And they're like, screw you. You're out of the group. You're no longer part of this team. Get the hell out of here. And Black Panther says, if I ever see you again, I'm going to kill you. Okay? So then they split. They go their separate ways. Well, Mr. Fantastic has this little meter thing that's a countdown. Every time one of these rifts occurs, it gives him a countdown so he knows how much time they have until it collapses and the world is destroyed. So after everybody leaves, he looks down at his hand and boom, 7 hours. Another one's coming. So he's like, there's no way, I can't go through this again. I'm not going to blow up. So he's just like, we have to die. We're just going to let it happen. We're just going to let everybody on our Earth, everybody on that Earth. It's just better that we all die instead of taking this responsibility of killing all those people just to save ourselves.
Right.
So you see, like...
That sounds like a trans-dimensional nightmare.
So like Bruce Banner, he gets a six-pack of beer, and he walks out in the middle of the desert, and he just sits there, and he's like... just drinking beer, and he's like, well, I'm finally going to get rid of you, big guy. And you just see, like, the ghostly image of Hulk sitting next to him, you know? He's like, this is the only way he's going to be able to escape Hulk is for the whole world to end, you know?
Right.
Mr. Fantastic has to go out and see his kids. You know, his daughter is still living with Dr. Doom, so he's got to make sure he goes there and sees her. He's got to stop by the Future Foundation. He's got to get, like, all his affairs in order, you know, because the world is ending. You know, so, like, everybody, Tony Stark... puts up like a whole row of shot glasses and fills them all up, and then he just sits there and stares at him, and he's like, this is the only way I'm ever going to be able to beat you, is I'm just going to stare at you until the world ends, and I'm not going to drink a single one. This is the only way I'm going to beat it, you know, like that type of thing. So the clock ticks, ticks, ticks. Nothing happens. Time runs out. Nothing happens. So they all get back together in their room to have this meeting, and they're like, okay, so we blew up an entire Earth and killed all those billions of people for nothing. Because time ran out, that Earth didn't cross into ours, we didn't blow up, and all of a sudden someone goes, wait a minute, Namor's missing. And they go and they check, and sure enough, there's a bomb gone. And it cuts, and you see Namor, and he's sitting in a dark room, and he's got a new group of guys. And he's giving them the speech that Mr. Fantastic gave at the beginning of New Avengers. And he goes... everyone's going to die eventually. It's going to happen, but it's not happening today under my watch. And he's got, like, Thanos.
Nice.
He's got, like, I think Moonstone.
Wow.
And he's got, like, all these people together, and he's like, so who wants to go destroy an Earth with me? And then you just see them on this other Earth just killing everybody, destroying everything, just, like, getting ready to make the planet blow up. They're just, like, tearing everything apart so that it'll be easier for them to destroy it so that they can save home Earth. So... now Namor has created a second group he calls the Cabal, and the Cabal is going to destroy these Earths in order to save the regular Earth. So now the new Avengers are sitting there going, well, hell, now we got to stop him so that he and his group aren't going to go out and kill everybody. You know, now we have to fight against him trying to save us.
Right.
You know, and that's where the last issue left off. So when you're sitting there saying... well, this is kind of like a weird moral gray area. Like, how do you deal with it? That's exactly what the book is.
Right.
They are dealing with what is the price of being a hero, you know? And do you kill the billions of people on that Earth to save the billions of people on this Earth, or is it a hero to just let everybody die and not get involved, not get in the middle of it?
We don't need another hero.
I like Namor. I'm on his team.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
You think that, you know, that's the most logical decision is just keep blowing up the other Earths?
It is.
Our lives are more valuable than the other Earth's lives?
Oh, only because we can do it before they can.
What if one of the other Earths figures out to blow up us?
Then they were smart enough to figure it out. They win.
Survival of the fittest.
That's
planets,
right. Exactly.
Okay.
So it's just been a really good story. And so, it's one of those books, like, I have not read Avengers books, you know, in a while. Like, I'll flip through them every so often just to kind of keep up with
Uncanny
it.
Uncanny is the only one I collect.
But New Avengers, when that started happening, like, I actually went back Because I think 24 is like the last one that came out. I went back to like 16, where it's like the second, you know, arc starts, whatever. And started reading from there, and I was like, I really like this. Like, this is a really cool story. So New Avengers is one that I've been really happy
so
with.
So does it start over like with the number one, or is it like picked up?
It started, well, like 2 years ago, it restarted with the new number one. Back when they were doing all the Marvel Now.
Okay.
Like when they redid Captain America.
Right.
You know, and all that kind of stuff. They did a new number one.
But who were the new Avengers before all they started, the people you just named off? Wasn't there another group?
You know, and I don't know, because there was New Avengers and Mighty Avengers and Secret Avengers and Avengers World and Avengers... Avengers Assemble.
Is Thunderbolt still around?
Yes. Okay. And I've only skimmed those, but Punisher tries to leave the group. Like, he's like, I don't want to work for you guys anymore, I'm done. And so Thunderbolt Ross, the Red Hulk, he says, you don't get to leave, so he turns everyone else in the group against Punisher.
Wow.
So the last three or four issues have been everyone else going up against Punisher, trying to take him out.
Oh,
and Punisher getting the upper hand and escaping. But
alrighty then. I think that about wraps up that segment.
Are there any other loose single issues of anything you want to talk about? Any random, like, digital issues of anything you read, or...
Saga. I'm starting to really get disappointed with Saga.
I never got into Saga in the first
place. I don't get it now. It's too loose.
You know, all of those
the
books...
The storyline is too loose now. It doesn't...
I can tell you from a retailer standpoint, all of those books that were, like, the big, like, shocking image books, like Saga... And Sex Criminals, and Sex, and Satellite Sam. All of those books that were supposed to be like the cutting edge, you know, lots of nudity,
right. You
know, all the dark side of whatever. Like, all those books have dropped off. Like, all the critics, you know, are, ooh, Saga is still the best story in comics every month, you know, and that type of thing. But as far as people buying
it, I disagree.
I can tell you that in our store, there's like maybe... one or two people that still get those regularly, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm done with Saga. I'm formally announcing it.
Oh, you want me to take it off
your
list?
On the air, yes.
Oh, well, do you want me to take the ones out of your box or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Throw them back in the water.
All right. Someone will buy them.
Yeah. They're just jellyfish for me.
It just gets to a point where...
here's the thing. The story needs to stay fresh. And for me, I feel like Saga is really stale. Like, it's, you know, this narrative told by basically this, like, this child that's being raised by this unusual couple that shouldn't be a couple. And, it, you know, there's space involved and, like, this weird race of people with TV heads. And, you know, they're fighting the people with wings. And, you know, it's supposed to be, like, this, like, social structure between the two, you know, the struggle of combat. It's all so loose now, it doesn't have any weight. Like, none of the stories feel like they have much weight enough for me to want to...
Like, you don't care what happens next?
No!
Yeah.
They could like, punt the baby off a cliff right now, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, they punted the baby off the cliff. You know, the horned baby. Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow, that just happened. You know?
Well, you... Yeah.
I mean, does it take a phallus on one of their TV faces to, like, you know...
Whenever Image comes out with a new number one, like, I've now gotten to the point where it's like... I actually flip through it, and it's like, if they have to show me boobs or a penis or something in the first issue, then it's like, I'm out, because that's your gimmick. That's 'cause you've done that to show that you're an adult, mature book, because you put boobs in it.
Right.
So now I'm just like, no, you're done. Like, I don't care. Like, right. I'm not... Like,
I agree.
I'm past that.
Yeah, so...
If that's the only thing you can do...
Whoa!
There's a hockey game going on upstairs above us.
We're actually underneath a hockey rink right now.
Goal! No, that's soccer.
Oh. That's like... Right?
Now, if a fight breaks out, though, we need to run up there and check it out. All right,
what might happen?
One other book, though, that I did read recently that I really enjoyed was a digital-only book
You know what? I think the last book you said you really enjoyed was a digital only as well.
What was that?
I don't remember, but I think I do recall.
Oh, well, that narrows it down.
Yeah.
You got more to that?
No.
That's as far as you're doing it?
That's the end of my investigation. That's as far as I cared.
All right. Well, anyway, this book, you know, we're getting into fall now. Obviously, the weather's changing.
Yeah, October's right around the corner.
Halloween's coming. Woo. So a couple weeks ago, I said I want to start watching the Friday the 13th again. You know, I'm going to get into that mood.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Sci-fi's been showing them. Yeah. They've been showing Friday the 13th. I think of 1, 2, and 3.
I watched Jeepers Creepers today.
Ooh, wow! Yeah. I haven't seen that one in a long time. So anyway, I was looking through the digital stuff that came out on Comixology this week, and I found this book called Slaughter Lake. And Slaughter is basically a throwback, somewhat parody, somewhat homage
of Jason,
of just horror movies.
Okay.
And the introduction is actually written by Lloyd Kaufman, the guy from Troma, who did Toxic Avenger.
Okay.
And you know that type of stuff. And the story is basically, you know, bunch of kids, teenagers are going to this camp because they're going to learn about being camp counselors and get training and whatever. But of course, they all want to have sex and do drugs, and you know, they're being away from the parents, so they're all doing this crazy stuff. And so this,
so it's meatballs.
So this big, bulky maniac with a deformed face, so he wears a catcher's mask to cover up his deformed face. Is out there at the campgrounds and just starts slaughtering people.
Nice.
And it's Laughter Lake.
Okay.
But if you take an S and put it in front of laughter, it becomes slaughter. Right? So they're out at Laughter Lake, but then of course this guy, and his name is Mason, not
the,
Jason.
The killer?
Yeah.
Mason?
Mason.
Okay. Mason, right? Prophet?
No, I forget what his last name is. But anyway. So he's going through and he's dispatching everybody, you know, one at a time. And there are all these jokes. This girl goes skinny dipping and this guy's just sitting in the bushes. Fat. You know. And it's just, it's one of those books where it's, like, it's funny. It's making fun of it. But at the same time, you can tell that they actually like the horror movies that they're kind of making fun of.
Well,
you
let's face it. I mean, a lot of those movies were funny, too.
Right. You know? They didn't take themselves too seriously.
No.
Well,
there's some sex and violence all at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is very much...
I like the deputy gets murdered, and the sheriff is like, "Damn you, Mason, he only had 25 more years until retirement." You know, just a lot of
It's
tropes.
Very Friday the 13th.
But
that feel.
The artwork is very nice. Like, it's very well done.
He likes drawing women.
It looks professional. You know.
That doesn't look like a catcher's mask. It looks like...
Yeah, it's a catcher's mask. Like the guy behind home plate.
But you should be able to see through it.
Well, yes, you should be able to see through it. And it's just black in shadow, so you can't really see. But that's kind of their play on it, you know.
It's kind of Art Crumb-ish, too.
And look, he ripped the skin off the girl, so he's just got this
The
skin.
Character faces and stuff kind of remind me of like a Crumb
kind of underground
feel. Yeah, like an underground feel. Ooh,
he sticks a funnel in his butt and starts pouring gasoline in it and then sets him on fire.
Wow.
So it was... Now, this book was only 99 cents. It's like 40 pages long. Like, this is one of the best things...
in the world.
The company that did it is like Mush Face Comics, you know? So it's like some company you've never heard of before, you know? But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Well, that guy just blew his own head off.
Yeah, he trips. He's carrying the shotgun and he trips.
Oh, wow. So that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Pretty gruesome.
So.
Oh, and then he gets electrocuted.
It's funny. It's just... And then the mom's telling the story to the kid as he's leaving for camp.
now
he's terrified.
Now, just like at the end of every Friday the 13th, does he, like, end up, like, at the bottom of a lake or... Like, I saw he got electrocuted there, so, like, is he gone?
No, they just say, it's over, but you never see what happens to him.
Okay. Exactly, so he'll come
right
back.
So I actually tweeted to him.
The artist?
I think it was the writer. And I said, well, when are we getting a Slaughter High, Slaughter Hospital, Slaughter Lake 2,
right.
And he's like, they're coming. I'm working on another book right now, but we got more in mind. So
nice.
So I'm hoping. So like I said, it was 99 cents on Comixology. It's 40 pages long. All right. So
okay.
It's definitely worth it. So I enjoyed the heck out of that one. I guess real quick. Have you kept up on Thor at all? Didn't you used to read that?
I was God of Thunder.
Yeah, you gave up on it.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Because that just ended. Did you read any
of... It's gone now? God of Thunder?
Yep.
Okay.
It's over. Did you read Original Sin? Any of that big storyline?
The Spider-Man stuff.
That's
crossovers,
it?
Yeah. That's it. What is going on with Original Sin? Explain it in one sentence.
The secrets of the Marvel Universe revealed.
Okay.
So basically, the Watcher.
Yeah, well, he's dead.
The Watcher is murdered.
Right.
Because his race of beings apparently, I guess they like store what they see in their eyeballs. Like that's where it gets stored. So someone kills the Watcher to pull out his eyeball to get to all the information he's seen, which is basically everything that's ever happened on Earth. So they find out all the horrible secrets of every hero. Every bad thing that they've ever done.
Right. Because the Watcher sees all.
Right.
He's a... What is that?
He's a voyeur.
Omnipresent. Omnipresent. He's ever present.
Yeah, I guess. Omnipresent, yeah.
He's a voyeur.
Well, kinda.
It's like, I was taking a shower, and there he was. There was a Watcher just looking in the window.
There was some of the stuff like...
I said, hey, Watcher.
Nick Fury.
Right.
Apparently, he really did get old. Every time you've seen... Like, he was a World War II guy, and he did get old. The real Nick Fury appears, and he's this wrinkled-up old dude. So they're like, but wait, I just saw you 2 years ago, and you look normal. Well, that was a life model decoy. Basically, like, every version of him that you've seen since, like, 1975 has been a life model decoy. He really is 80 years old. You know, it's like stuff like that is the type of stuff that they're throwing out there. But, I don't know, it was just one of those things where I kind of read, like, the first couple, and I was reading it, and I was like, I just don't care.
Right.
It's like, the Winter Soldier is gonna... I don't care about the Winter Soldier. Like, the movie was cool, but, just whatever.
Yeah.
You know? If I'm more interested in the story that they're telling with the characters than with the actual characters. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel an allegiance to Captain America or to Thor... or to Hulk. But if they do a good story with him, I'll read that story. But then when the story's over, then I'm done with the character. Like, I don't care again. You right. know? So, it was just one of those things where I don't really... I just couldn't get into it. You know? So, I didn't read a whole lot of it.
So, okay. So, does that wrap up this segment?
I guess so. I mean, we've gone on almost 40 minutes.
Yep. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Invincible. And we're also going to talk about... some other stuff.
Are you going to read Futures End?
Yeah, I guess I'll finish that, too.
How many more you got to go? Eight?
Eight.
Can you read eight of them in 10 minutes?
Yes.
Can you?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see.
And do I have to take a test?
Yes.
Then
there will be a written quiz.
Then no.
Every answer is multiple choice... And I will try to trick you.
And I have to know page numbers.
And I'm gonna do multiple choice where it says like, Superman, is he wearing a red S or a crimson S?
Huh.
So A or B, which is it?
A.
All right, we'll be right back.
Do a dance for you.
I just want to restart at the beginning. Take it from the top.
You mean playing under the hockey ring was annoying?
Kind of, but I just feel like we didn't give it our all. Like, we didn't bring our best foot forward
at 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
We're going to start over.
Just take it from the top.
And we're back, everybody, for another episode of Comaholics. Episode 42. Take it away, Dirt.
Take it where? Take it away to what?
to a magical balloon ride.
Can I take it to Funky Town?
Yes.
All right, we'll just keep going. We'll just pretend like the first segment was okay.
So we're going to talk about Invincible?
Are we?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it just seems like the right thing to do.
Invincible! So I read starting from like issue 103 or whatever. And
so you kind of caught back up?
So I'm all caught up now.
So what did you think about the whole build-up with Robot / Rex, basically?
There wasn't any build-up. It just came out of nowhere. There was no build-up. Just suddenly he goes, all right, now I'm going to leave you here in this alternate universe. I'm going to go kill everybody else. Bye.
Let me try to remember what was going on before this. So basically, Mark found out he's going to have a baby.
Well, finds out he's going to have a baby, right. But then the Angstrom Levy comes. And
he has to go kill Angstrom Levy because he's afraid he's going to come back.
Angstrom ripped off Adam Eve's leg. And so then he's going to chase him into this alternate universe where him and the Mohawk version of Invincible live.
Right.
So he asked Robot to help him build this portal device. So they build the portal, they go into the alternate universe, they find out that Angstrom Levy has been hooked up to this machine, and they've ripped open his head, and they're, like, got wires going into his brain,
so,
and they're trying to get
his knowledge. Universe Mark is not a nice man.
And then Robot, like, leaves Mark there, kills Levy, kills everybody else, whatever, goes back to the regular universe and says, okay, now that Invincible's gone, it's time to put my plan into effect, and he just starts killing every hero.
Right.
He kills what's his name at the Pentagon, the old guy who was
Armstrong.
Their
hammer. Isn't that Armstrong?
No, it was like it started with a C, didn't it? Clarence or Clyde or
yeah,
Clarabel, whatever. Slashes his throat, starts killing all of these people.
Right.
And
the reason he's doing this is because when he was in a parallel dimension with Monster Girl, when they were in that parallel dimension, they were there actually for like several decades.
No, they were there for like 1,000 years.
1,000 years, okay. Long time.
They told everybody it was like 7 years.
Yeah, that's right, okay.
But they were there for like 1,000 years. And they took over, and they became the rulers of the world, and they...
But they did that by basically wiping out all the bad guys.
But they got rid of all the crime, they got rid of all the war.
So Rex thinks he's going to do that in...
Do that here on Earth. And he knows that Mark would try to stop him, so Mark was the first one that had to go. And so the Voltramites are going to attack Robot, and he goes, wait a minute, let's talk about this for a second, because if I stop all war and stop fighting and we can cure diseases, then the human population will grow. And then that's good for you guys because you can mate with the humans and you can make the babies and you can rebuild the Voltramite people. So the success of humanity and the success of the Voltramites are intertwined. So therefore, you should let me go.
Yeah, convinces them that basically his plan is the best plan.
Yeah, and they go, actually, that makes sense. Okay. So they decide not to interfere and to let him take over.
Right.
So Mark is freaking
out. At this point, like, basically all the governments have succeeded to his will, too.
Well, he's able to either assassinate the ones that stand in his way or convince the others to go along with it.
Right.
He convinces Black Invincible to go along with it.
Yeah, he basically turns on all of his superhero buddies,
right,
too.
So they get captured.
Right.
So a bunch of them get killed, a bunch of them get captured. And Mark is ready to stand up to him and fight. And he just basically goes, you know you can't defeat me. I will let you live. Because I know I can defeat you at any time. I know I can make the Voltramites defeat you. So
so then basically Mark comes back home to
Eve. And just says he's won.
Right. And they, well, by the way, they've had the baby.
Oh, yeah, the baby's born.
Right.
Because after Eve's leg gets cut off, she uses her powers to make a bubble to keep her safe. They fly into space. They go to the Voltramite
base,
ship, whatever. Yeah, and they save the baby, but they're not sure if Eve is going to make it. But then she makes it.
Right.
And
And then Eve like basically tells Mark, "Just go get that son of a bitch."
Right. Like, so that he goes to get him,
like,
but
the Voltramites are like, "No, no, no. We need to, you know."
Yeah. So he's just like, okay, he's won. The world is in his control, and that's it.
And then Rex goes off to... I'm sorry, Mark goes off to face... Invincible goes off to face Rex. And that has basically caught us up, I believe.
No, because he meets Rex. He goes to Rex and he says,
okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Rex tells him, "Don't, as long as you don't stand against me, I'll let you live." And so Mark goes back and says to Eve, he's won. Everything right. is in his control. And the thing is, you already had a guy who was the handler that Mark dealt with, the old guy with the earpiece,
right.
always walking through the dimensional portals. Like, that guy was already, like, the secret hand that ran everything, that was in control. So now Rex has just made himself that guy, basically.
Uh-huh.
So it really doesn't change a whole lot. He just had to kill a bunch of the heroes to get them out of the way so they wouldn't oppose him for him to be in control. But he goes, me being in control, I'm invisible. No one is ever going to know I'm in control.
Yeah, I it's forgot about look that like, too, yeah.
Look like everything is fine.
Because he's been behind the scenes this whole time anyways.
So the evil guy
wins.
Is basically able to usurp the people who are in power to take over, and his evil plan succeeds, and now it looks like everything's going to go according to his plan from here on out. Which makes me think about Kirkman's other book, Walking Dead. Because in Walking Dead, he was going to kill Negan, but then he decides Negan has to live in order to see this great society that he's built,
right.
which is the same way that that the Voltramites, the General Trag or whatever, they let him live so that he could see how the Voltramites are able to rebuild the people through peace instead of through war. And then suddenly Rex comes up with this evil idea. I almost wonder if what's going to happen in Walking Dead is that Negan is going to turn the people against Rick. They're going to rise up against Rick. They're going to kill Rick, and Carl is going to try to stand against him, and Negan's going to go, no, look, everything works now. The world is good. Everyone's going to have food and everything. Don't stand against me.
Right.
I wonder if something like that is coming. Because right. it really seems like in Walking Dead they're going to get rid of Rick now. Because he's just so boring and lame.
Yeah.
Like, he's not serving any purpose anymore.
No.
So I wonder, because he's done that in Invincible, if this is like a dry run for what he's going to do in Walking Dead.
Huh, interesting. So maybe he's carried over his storyline, kind of testing the waters.
I mean,
so
there
to speak,
are
with
parallels
Invincible.
With a lot of things that happen between the two, and it seems like a lot of times he'll do it in one book to kind of test it and see how people react, and then he'll do it in Walking Dead, or he'll flip it and do it the other way.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just kind of think like something along those lines is coming. But having said that, Invincible, I read like 10 issues of Invincible today in about 40 minutes.
It's good stuff.
I mean, it's very easy to read through.
Yeah.
It goes so fast. And to be honest, there's a lot of times where Eve goes to have the conversation with those two dudes. I just need to talk to somebody about this. And I'm just kind of like, all right, skim the page. Skim the page.
You know it has no sustenance.
Someone's getting their head crushed. All right, slow down. Now it's happening, you know. So I like Invincible, and there's a lot of cool stuff in Invincible, but I think if I did read it every month, I'd be kind of bored with it. But the fact that I wait, like, 6 months and then read them all in one, I probably would be happier with the trades, you know, if I was reading trades.
I think it does make a good trade. Okay.
But anyway, so I like Invincible. I think it's still a good series to read.
I agree.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So the only question is, what happens now? I mean, now that Rex has taken over everything, I think the next issue is going to be...
I think Mark's still just playing along, though. I don't think he's really... Well,
The next issue is going to shift the focus away from what's happening on Earth to the intergalactic tiger...
Right.
Guy is chasing down General Trag, or whatever his name is, the Voltramite who was the leader, who got deposed and exiled.
Right.
He's going to track him down to try to kill him, and I think somehow that's going to work its way back towards Earth. So, there'll be another big battle.
Hmm.
So somebody can die, but... But what it sounds like, though, one of the things Rex said was that without Angstrom Levy leaving the trail that they could follow to reopen the portals to the alternate universes, they have no way of reopening those portals.
Right.
Like, Levy was the one that could open the portals to jump universe to universe, so the whole parallel universe thing may be over now. Like, that whole...
It's the door is closed.
The door is closed, finally, and you're not going to have any more Invincibles from another universe. You're not going to have any more Levy, obviously, because he's been wiped out. So... I'm kind of sad, though, because I liked the world-hopping stuff that they did. I always thought that was neat.
Better than the Marvel Universe...
with Age of Ultron and everything? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess one of the things about Invincible that makes it interesting is the fact that because it's not a Marvel or DC book, it's one guy's book of a world of superheroes. He can just kill whoever he wants. It doesn't matter.
He doesn't have to wait for, like, the creative writers to be like, oh, yeah, that's fine. You can do that.
It's not like Death of Wolverine where he's got to take six issues to...
No, four.
Oh, well, whatever. But if he wants someone dead, they could die on the first page. Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So that's at least something. But you're going to keep that one, right?
Yeah. No, okay. I'm keeping Invincible. All
right.
I'm going to see that one out.
All right. What about the other series we were going to talk about?
Oh, what's that?
Future's End.
Future's End.
When we were at C2E2 in Chicago, we sat down with two of the writers of Future's End. Brian Azzarello and Dan Juergens, and we talked about Future's End that was coming. And it was so exciting to meet these people, you didn't even bother to try to read their series until today.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. Or 2 days ago.
And you got through 12 issues?
Over 13. Kind of skimmed the last two.
I found, when reading it, that the first, like, five
Speaking
or six...
Speaking of dying off quickly, I mean, the first issue... You lose Green Arrow, right?
Right.
Don't you lose somebody else in the first issue?
Well, all the people from the Batman Beyond universe.
That's right.
Except for Batman Beyond.
So, big deal. A lot of stuff going on there.
I found, when I was reading it, the first, like, five or six issues were very hard to get through. Because it was all these other characters that you didn't necessarily care about. Like Mr. Terrific and... The people that are trying to break into his building,
but
the steel
Mr. Terrific
and stuff.
Plays like a major part in this.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I really cared about the series until they started to talk about, oh, that bartender at the bar is actually Red Robin.
Right.
He's been hiding all this time, and there's something going on that's wrong with Superman, and Lois Lane is trying to track down what happened to Green Arrow, and. Like, once they started getting into the familiar characters in the future where you can see that they are different, I thought it was interesting. But until that point, when it's just Batman Beyond running around and these goofs you've never heard of are trying to break into Mr. Terrific's building, like, who cares? You know? So the first five or six issues...
They don't put a lot of weight on the consequences as far as, like, what's going to happen.
Yeah, if they get caught, who cares? Right. If they succeed, who cares? Like, they're trying to steal some technology? Well, why?
What is it, like, the and U thing?
If they get a hold of it, who's in danger? If they don't get a hold of it, who's in danger? It's just, there's these criminals with this plot, you know?
Actually, what's kind of funny is, the most unexpected character, I think, is probably the most interesting character in the books.
The most unexpected?
Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, Frankenstein is probably the most interesting character... For me, anyways, like, interesting hero. Like, I'm drawn to him more than... I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of unusual. Like, I start to, like, care, because... it's just funny, because he's, you know, he doesn't really say a lot, either. He spends a lot of time grumbling and moaning. But when he says things, it's like he's the voice of reason, you know?
He actually, he gets his arm ripped off.
Right.
But he's Frankenstein. Did you read that part?
Yes.
Where he got the arm from Hawkman?
Yeah,
because
he's like, he's trying to get back to... No, he loses his arm in the bleed.
Right. Did you see the part where they rip off
Hawkman? He gets Hawkman's arm.
Okay. So,
and then Hawkman is rejuvenated too because of the...
Nth metal.
Yeah, the Nth metal.
And so the Nth metal actually starts to rejuvenate Frankenstein.
Right.
So now Frankenstein there's a part later on where Frankenstein gets like punched or zapped or whatever, and red blood comes out.
Right.
And he's never had. Yeah, he hasn't had red blood since he was reanimated. So it's like it's the nth metal turning him back human.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
And what about the scene with Joker?
In.
Yeah, Frankenstein. They go to.
Or Bruce Wayne's on the table.
Yes.
He's stuck in the hospital.
So how did Bruce Wayne end up on the table?
I didn't
read any of...
I don't think you know. See, okay, the Futures End... This month they did all those special edition Futures End books. And only... So far, there have only been two that really tied into Futures End.
Hmm.
And that is the Green Arrow book.
Right.
And the other one is the Earth 2
okay.
book. And those are the only ones that really tie into the series. Everything else is like it's Batman 5 years in the future. So his spine is broken, and he's got this thing attached to his back so that he can move again and whatever. He's building these suits of armor. So you just kind of see what it's like for him as an older, like he's older, he's beat up, he's worn right. down, you know, because he is human, you know, so they're trying to be a little more realistic with how the body would break down after all this abuse, you know. So they do stories like that, but they're not stories that tie into the Futures End storyline. So you don't see, you know, his appearance in Futures End where he's been captured and he's on that table and they're like cutting into his brain or whatever. None of that has anything to do with what you read in the Detective Comics Futures End or the Batman right. Futures End. So,
well, going back to Joker again though.
Joker is just basically in that one book.
What, so really, what was the point of...
The only point...
other than showing that he's still alive.
To just show that he's still alive, and so they could have that shocking moment where you see Bruce Wayne right. on the table. That's it.
Okay.
That was it. Joker doesn't do anything else.
So for me, that was probably the most exciting part, to see Joker alive.
See, I like Green Arrow. I've been reading Green Arrow.
So are you sad that he's dead now?
So, well, here's the thing. The Green Arrow, you find out later in Futures End. I'll go ahead and spoil it for you.
That he's not dead?
He's not dead. And in the new, in the Futures End...
Doesn't mean firestorms are going to have it off his conscience now?
Here's what happened. In the Futures End special, it takes place before Futures End starts, even though it's come out now.
Right.
And so what it does is it tells you how he went into hiding. How he was getting prepared to fake his own death, why he was doing it, how he was setting up the other characters to take his place.
To try to, okay.
And those other characters are actually characters from the current storyline in Green Arrow. So it showed you what happened with the current character. If you've been reading Green Arrow, here's what those characters are doing during Future's End. Here's what actually happened to Green Arrow. Right. And it ties into the regular series. So that was actually a really good... crossover, like that was how the Futures End stuff should have worked on all these different titles, because it tied into the regular series and it tied into Futures End. It made sense.
Yeah, it made sense.
The other one that tied into it was the Earth 2 one, and we know in Futures End there was some sort of war with Earth 2. We don't really know what happened or why, we just know there was this war, and all the superheroes from Earth 2 are being held as prisoners on this island that's being patrolled by the OMAX. You don't really know anything else about it other than that. But what the Earth 2, or maybe it was the World's Finest, one of those, Huntress was captured and she's on the island. Power Girl was not captured. And so she's trying to get to the island to find Huntress to break her out of the prison.
Right.
So that ties into what we see in Futures End, because you see the different characters and you see how the island works and you see a little bit more of the OMAX and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So that one kind of tied in.
That makes a little more sense. I was confused by all the OMAX.
But so far, none of the other Futures End really have anything to do with...
Other than saying Futures End on the title?
I guess the only other one that really comes close is the Action Comics or Superman, one of those, where you see Superman out in the desert. Because he gets revealed later on that he's been hiding out in like Africa, working in these little villages, because he was somehow used by Batman to do something that killed a bunch of people, but Batman knew it had to be done as like a tactical maneuver, and so he got pissed off at Batman. He gave up being a superhero, and he's like, now I'm going to help people by using my powers to irrigate the desert and to plant the crops and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So,
damn hippie.
So they kind of go into that, but at the same time, it's just kind of, this is why I'm boring now. And that's what the book is, you know, so. I think that was the Superman one. So anyway, all the others are just, they feel like Elseworlds, you know. Mm-hmm. It's randomly in the future and they're doing futuristic stuff or stuff is somewhat different.
One loose end, the ship that gets split in half, Stormwatch.
The Stormwatch?
Okay. Basically, Hawkman's the only one that lives. The mystery of who...
Oh, no, Amethyst. Wasn't she? She was the one with, like, half-burned face, wasn't she on the ship?
Yeah. And there's that little crystal, that little pink crystal.
Okay.
We don't know what it is yet.
You mean green?
Green, yeah.
Green crystal. I don't remember, to be honest. I don't know if that comes back or not.
And then who actually destroyed Stormwatch? Do we find that out?
That we don't know. We just know it's some sort of menace and it's heading toward... Oh, no, we do know. I take that back. We did find out. It's Brainiac.
Really?
And what it says is any Brainiac that you've seen before is some sort of artificial intelligence... like messenger, precursor, or whatever, that it's like a probe. So if you've seen Brainiac before, then that Brainiac is just this thing that he sends out.
So what's the real Brainiac look like?
We don't know, but we know that it's Brainiac who's coming. And Brainiac is the one that destroyed Stormwatch, and he's... The real Brainiac is now finally heading to Earth.
Is he human?
No.
Okay.
But we don't know beyond that.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. And I guess there's one other... I was just thinking, there's one other plot thread from the New 52...
That we haven't discussed.
That is revealed in Future's End.
What's that?
Okay. Do you remember when New 52 started and the first book was Justice League?
Right.
And do you remember that first story where Darkseid's attacking Earth?
Right.
And so Batman's fighting him, and then Green Lantern appears, and Superman appears, and all the heroes come together to fight Darkseid and send him back. Okay. Darkseid was attacking Earth because he was trying to find his daughter. Okay. Darkseid's daughter has disappeared, and Darkseid's trying to find her.
Okay.
That's why he attacked Earth. In the Earth 2 series, Darkseid is attacking Earth 2 because he's trying to find his daughter. And he ends up killing Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman of that world, and that's what kicks off that title. So somewhere is his daughter, and he's trying to find her.
Okay.
And then there was the Vibe series that lasted like 6 issues.
Yeah, I was going to say that didn't last very long.
One of the things you find out in that book is that there's like the secret government organization, and they have this big metal door, and they say that behind that is Darkseid's daughter. They have her captured, and they're trying to keep her hidden from Darkseid so Darkseid can never find her, because she's so powerful, they don't ever want her to be found by Darkseid.
Right.
Okay. What we find out in Future's End is the little girl that's on the island, the one that keeps taking Grifter and like throwing him in the ocean and doing all the tricks.
That's her.
That's her. That's Darkseid's daughter. So that character that Darkseid has been ripping apart the universe trying to find is that little girl on the island. She's growing up, but she has all those massive powers she doesn't know how to control. And so somehow part of this whole thing is trying to develop her so that she will turn against her dad and hopefully destroy him.
Wow. That's a stretch.
So that's one of those things where it's like they planted it in the very first book of the New 52.
Let it go.
And it's just kind of been running in these different books, yeah.
I wonder if they do that more than we think, where they'll plant a seed, but maybe they'll never even use it, you know?
It seemed like one of those things they had forgotten about. And then it popped up again in the Vibe book, but then they kind of forgot about it again.
Or maybe it's one of those things where it's on the board, but they never get a chance to really work it in.
Like, it could be one of those things where they had a writer's summit, and they said, eventually we'll get to this thing back here, and if people can throw it in their book, then fine, but otherwise they just kind of let it go until it's, you know, time to do that.
It's an interesting subplot, I think.
It is satisfying when you run across something like that, and you go, oh my gosh, I remember...
Right.
Because it was randomly in this book, and then it was randomly in that book, and it was randomly mentioned here, you know, and now it's, like, starting to pan out.
Well, like Pandora.
Okay, what about Pandora?
Well, kind of. It was like released in segments, you know, throughout time as it happened.
Well, I wonder, she's the whole reason why the New 52 happened, right? Because they did the Flashpoint, and she's the one that manipulated Flash to kind of mess with
time-space.
The time, yeah, so to rebuild it in the New 52 universe. But something's got to happen with her to make her want to go back in time and change it.
Right.
Which almost makes me wonder if something's going to happen where eventually they go back in time and they undo it. That would seem like a big deal.
Like, just kidding.
Hey, guys!
None of the 52 is new. It's actually really
old. We're back to old 52.
Going back to the...
It'll just say, like, DC Classic.
Yeah.
Be Classic Batman number one.
Vintage.
Like, all new Marvel Now. Like, you had Marvel Now, and you had all new Marvel Now.
No, it's like Marvel Now 2 days ago.
Actually, now it's Avengers Now.
When will then be now?
Tomorrow.
When is tomorrow?
Not now.
Okay.
So... Anyway, I think Future's End is a good series once you get into the groove of it, but it takes a while to get to that point.
Well, you know, I had a few questions before we did this segment, you know, just to kind of fill in some of the loose ends, you know, but
some of the, like Lois Lane got the box of clues, and the clues eventually played out. She's got the coordinates of the island, but it's hidden, so she can't see it. She got the Green Arrow.
I thought she found the island. Like, they found the island, but they had to turn back because they were running low on fuel.
No, she couldn't see it. Like, it was somehow masked, so she just saw a blank ocean, but the people on the island could look up and see this helicopter trying to find them, but she didn't see anything.
Like a big illusion.
Because it's camouflage. But she had Green Arrow's arrowhead. There was the true identity of Tim Drake. Something else. I don't remember, but... I just think that you get past that first hurdle and then it's gotten pretty good, and I do enjoy reading it every week.
Well, I read like several back to back.
You tried to get through it. You just didn't have time.
Yeah.
Your stupid wife had a stupid birthday and had a
stupid
party.
Stupid birthday party.
Hey guys, sit around, drink beer, and eat snacks. No, we're reading comics. Shut up.
Yeah, it's way dirtier.
So, anyway.
Well, that's it.
Nothing else you
Mission
want to talk
accomplished.
About?
Accomplished. No, I think that'll about do it. You know, I mean, there's... Obviously, I'm still playing catch-up on Turtles and things
Spider-Man.
Like that. Spider-Man. Got a lot of Spider-Man to read. I'm going to have to, like, trim the fat on my conversations next time we talk about Spider-Man, because I'm probably about, 20 issues behind right now.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. And I don't even read it anymore, so...
Other than that, yeah. I mean, I
read Letter 44. I like that one.
Well, Skull Kickers. I'm still reading Skull Kickers.
Okay. You still read the Deadpool stuff?
Yep. Including the spinoffs like Dracula's Gauntlet.
I'm trying to think of what... Like, I know I read other stuff. Oh, actually, you know, there's a book that I've actually enjoyed. I didn't think I was going to, but it's the new... Star Spangled War Stories.
Okay.
From New 52 DC. And it's featuring G.I. Zombie. Okay. So it's this random character from like the 60s or 70s when they were going through those weird, you know, periods.
Right.
And G.I. Zombie, he's just a guy who cannot die. He's a zombie. For whatever reason, he just can't die.
Is he like decaying skin? And
no, he's just kind of pale looking.
Right.
But like if you cut off his hands... Then he can just take the hand and kind of hold it back up, and it will just kind of like reattach itself, you know? So the storyline is he is working with the U.S. government, and he's working with this FBI agent, and they're trying to infiltrate this like white supremacist drug ring and gun running and, you know, whatever. Like
slash liquor store.
No, they're like out in the country, and they're selling guns and selling drugs and. Whatever, and so she has to get in with this white supremacist group. So G.I. Zombie shows up as the quote-unquote unnamed FBI agent. So she, in order to prove herself, tortures him. Cuts off a hand, cuts off an ear. He doesn't
talk. Watches it all happen.
So she just starts cutting off body parts until eventually she just kills him because he won't talk. And she's like, I'll dump the body. I'll take care of it. I'll meet you tomorrow. And, of course, goes back to the hotel, dumps the garbage bag in the bathtub, and all the body parts start to reassemble and remake him.
There he is.
And so he comes back as the zombie. And so the story keeps finding ways for him to get shot, get burned, get stabbed, get decapitated. You know, he keeps sacrificing himself in the line of duty to keep her safe, but because he's the zombie, he can just reassemble and come back. So it's been an interesting story. I've enjoyed it. I don't know how long they can go with it. You know, it might be one of those things where he's the main character for like 5 or 6 issues and it switches to something else, you know. But it's a way that they keep the name of Star Spangled War Stories alive, because it's one of those titles that really doesn't do much anymore, you know. Doesn't have a lot of present-day marketplace
It's not a lot of pull. Subscribers.
No, no, but it's been a fun story. I've been enjoying G.I. Zombie. So, because if they made a book called G.I. Zombie, I don't know if that would sell either. Yeah. People would be like, well, that's kind of stupid, too. But
like, it's played out.
Zombies are so over.
It's like, I'm sick of vampires with their sparkly shirts and, you know, vampire.
No, you're thinking of Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
Ricky Martin. Yeah. Oh, Ricky Martin and his sparkly shirts. Those are over. So, all right. Anyway, anything else you want to throw out there real quick?
Just, you know, check out popculture.com.
Stuff. Popculturenetwork.com.
Network.com. Yeah, that's a different website.
That's something completely
different. Sorry, I'm tired, folks. Yeah, check us out. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff there. A lot of different shows. A lot of different subjects to listen to. And watch, even.
Yeah, whatever.
And video. And maybe while you're there, you might want to buy a comic book or a toy.
It's late.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping.
It's late. It's one of those nights.
All right, I'm gonna show you 1 or 2 YouTube videos, and then we're gonna call it a night.
Okay, sounds good.
So, all right, guys, thanks for watching or listening or whatever you're doing, and talk to you.
You can watch.
And whatever.
You can watch the little bar go by.
Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.
We love you. You're sexy.